never rests.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Sunday night. You know how we do it. Georgia Show back with you. Jake Roos, Rusty Mansell in the house here on Sunday talking dogs. You know, plenty to get to tonight, Rusty. Oh, you're on mute. You Jake rowing me right now.
Hold on, Jake rowed you. But I was reading some comments last week. People were interested. You get a new microwave.
I did. I got the new microwave.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
We're coming up in the world.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Exciting time to be alive.
It's so funny. I was reading the comments on YouTube, and somebody's like, "Damn, Roos has got a new microwave." I was like, "Why didn't we talk about that?"
So it's a thing. It's a thing. We need to, when we have the Dogs HQ meet and greet, that I need to set up a studio with the microwave so we can take.
To bring that damn microwave, man. Have a photo op.
Now, thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. We've got to get into the dogs at the Combine. Once again, hey, another good showing for them there. You know how that goes. 1 week out of spring practice. And then, Rusty, I think you had a pretty interesting conversation here recently. I definitely want to touch on that. But leading things off here, dogs flash again at the Combine. I believe it was Daniel Jeremiah who said it, wasn't it? If you get that offer from Georgia, it comes with an invite to the Combine and
the next
it's
day.
Hard to argue.
you can imagine Kirby Smart and the UGA like social media team, like the quotes they're going to use with that. And you know, listen, Daniel Jeremiah has no dog in the fight. You know, this is a guy that's professional and you know, he does this for a living. But that was a quote, man. I mean, he said, The day you commit to Georgia, the next day you get an invite from the Combine in the mail. And I tweeted that thing and it went pretty quick. But that was a money quote, man. And listen, when you get somebody to say something about that like that, that's that respected about your program, you damn sure got to use it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I mean, and this thing really, Rusty, we've talked about this kind of ad nauseum, but it bears saying again, I think. The Combine has turned into a bit of an infomercial for the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, they year in and year out, they're doing freaky things. Looking back over this specific Combine, though, Rusty, anything that really surprised you? I would say for me, I did think Arian would maybe go a little faster, though it made me kind of think, you know, he's a different kind of runner than just the 40. He's not a sprinter, right? Necessarily. Yeah. He's a distance guy to some degree. So past 40 is when he kind of catches another gear. That's what makes him so dangerous. Malachi, I thought would maybe have a little bit better showing, although you kind of dive into the nuance of it.
Yeah.
He was first in the group in tons of stuff.
Everything. So
I caution people on getting off the Malachi Starks train. Don't.
I was surprised at people's reaction to a 4.5. Now, I did think he would run faster. I thought he was going to be a 4.45. I thought he was going to broad jump. He didn't do that. Being a 24-foot long jumper in high school, right. I think it's the only second 24-foot long jumper that I know of at Georgia. Reggie Brown, I think, holds a state record at 24.9, which I don't even know how you can do that. But I know that Malachi did a 24 in high school. So I thought he would do the broad jump for whatever reason. He didn't do it. But I think people were like, damn, man, he ran a 4.5. This guy's going to fourth round. I'm like, hold on now. The 4.50, and then you back it up with the data that he had. Basically, he was the fastest in all the football drills. And Daniel Jeremiah, again, was talking about how smart he is and be able to track the ball. And, you know, I thought he had a chance to maybe get to 15. But there's no way that Malachi Starks is going to get, and I say that the Falcons are 15. So, but you know, I don't see him get out of the first round. He just tested off the charts. And again, I know what the questions on him are. The questions, if you want to get really picky, Jake, if you want to get real picky, and they do this now, kind of the question was some of the tape this year and physicality with him. You know, do you want to stick your face up in there? Those types of things. He also changed positions for the benefit of the team this year. He also went to the star. You know what I mean? So NFL guys are going to look at it. He's not getting out of the first round. There's zero chance this guy's getting out of the first round. He checks boxes. He's smart as hell, instinctive. Just there's only a few of these, you know, these guys around.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things, you know, we've only got the best and brightest commenting over on the dog walk at Dogs HQ. But somebody said, and I do agree with this point, they said, you know, regardless of, you know, the maybe the lack of flash, if you will, to that 40-yard dash, and maybe you thought that, yeah, he would jump a little bit further. But at the end of the day, Malachi Starks is a three-year starter for the Georgia Bulldogs. He has all the athletic background that you could ever hope for a guy to have. He's a character guy. And, oh, yeah, you look at what the Dogs have been putting into the league lately, and these guys are just scratching the surface. They're getting better, Rusty. They're potential. They're tremendous players now, but they've got the work ethic instilled in them. They have the understanding of how these things work. Listen, would it surprise you in the least to see the Philadelphia Eagles get Malachi Starks? No, it wouldn't, you know? And I think that are watching what Philly's doing with these guys and moving from that same place and saying, let's not overthink this. This is a guy who does this all. He started as a freshman for the Georgia Bulldogs, and now he's coming in character high, intelligence high, speed within the football movements, super off the charts. Don't overthink this. Malachi Starks, still that dude, in my opinion.
I tell you, and I think we said it last week, the value of a Georgia player right now, and there are going to be some teams. Listen, there's going to be some teams that are going to reach on Georgia kids where normally they're going to say, you know what, those Georgia Bulldogs, those kids are they're working out, man. And not only they're working out, you know, Philadelphia goes and gets multiple players. I think, you know, another team because of injuries, but Green Bay has done the same thing. You look at Devontae White, look at Quay Walker, look at Eric Stokes, all those guys. Stokes got hurt last year. Javon Bullard. Yeah. You think they're not Green? Philadelphia's not the only team. Green Bay has done it too.
Right.
And Quay Walker has silently become one of the best down linebackers in football. I'm telling you, man, if they can stay healthy, they've got a batch of Georgia players too. So I'm interested to see that Miriam Corbin there saying, please, God, don't let the Falcons waste it. Please, God, let the Falcons draft a couple of Georgia players. I'm saying, I mean, I'd have to cover the Falcons. And for the love of God, can we get some guys that are 60 minutes up the road from you? You know what I mean?
That really stood out to me, Rusty. You mentioned it on the board today. I would love to see them get Jared Wilson in line to be the center of the future. They've got a chance there. That would be a tremendous pick for them.
You know, they're in a spot to where – they're going to be right in the middle of the second round. But I do know with their center, Chris Dolman, is up for free agency. Like, I don't know the Falcons have the wiggle room. And you start thinking about, can they take a center? And Jared Wilson has got so much left. And he's a young kid. He only started 1 year because he had Cedric Van Pran in front of him. Yeah. And I really wish Jared Wilson would have came back selfishly because I know this guy is going to be freaky good. Okay, he made a decision to go, and he showed – it was unbelievable what he did today.
Yeah.
But, you know, can the Falcons get a player like that? Would love to have Jared Wilson tagged in with this, you know, this franchise young quarterback and see where it can go. But, you know, Falcons, don't overthink it, man. And I don't care how stubborn you are. The Eagles just won a Super Bowl with a room full of dogs. And let's get some. That's all I'll say, man.
Rusty, looking back over this combine, I'm curious, were there any numbers that particularly jumped out to you or a guy that maybe you felt like really kind of helped his own stock?
Ty Ingram Dawkins.
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah.
Now, I will say this. I did talk with someone, I would say, in the business, and he goes, I said, man, Ty Ingram Dawkins made some money. He goes, well, you know, he worked out with a D lineman and Georgia played him. He worked out with the D tackles and Georgia played him at DN. He's pretty athletic for that group, but don't discount what he did. You know what I mean? So I think Ty Ingram Dawkins showing what he could do, man, you know, and some people are going to go back and listen to this and have the same reaction. That dude was that close to coming back. Like for about 3 or 4 days, like Ty Ingram Dawkins was coming back. And, you know, kudos to him, man. He's going to make a lot of money, but selfishly, dude, Georgia with him next year at that position, I think that would have been a good beat. But listen, he had a great combine. I think he showed his athleticism. And, man, I don't think there was anybody for Georgia. You go, dang, you might have thought a couple guys have been faster. I agree with Arian. I thought Arian might get low 4.3. You never put a 4.2 on a guy. You know, you just don't want to do that. It's just so unheard of. But I thought he might have had a chance at a low 4.3. Man, he floats, man. Like he doesn't need You watch his feet, it's like he's not touching the turf. It's crazy to watch Arian. But I guarantee you this, if they'd had 100 meters, I think Arian Smith would have been I don't know if anybody could outrun Arian Smith in 100 meters. So, but, you know, kudos those guys. And another, you know, you cannot pay for the damn advertisement this weekend. How many times the word Georgia Bulldogs were mentioned all weekend, and Kirby Smart and his staff and these guys. And I said it. I said it when nobody else did. So if I'm right, I'm going to pound my chest. I don't pound my chest on a miss. But I'm telling you right now that Georgia has a chance to have the most players drafted again.
Yeah,
everybody thinks it's a slam dunk for Ohio State, and I don't, and I'm not saying they're going to, but I'm telling you right now, this thing's a lot closer than the outside media is looking at, and I think Georgia's got a chance again to have the most players drafted.
I would completely agree with that. The other thing that really stood out to me, Rusty, and I think you saw it in the lineman drills today, and the video of Ty Ingram Dawkins doing the vertical and Mikel being right there cheering him on. The camaraderie that you saw in Georgia was super cool, man. And you hear people kind of downtrod on, oh, it's the NIL era. Everybody's out for themselves. Nobody cares about the team. I think you saw some things that kind of flew in the face of that through the course of this combine. Those guys were as excited for their brothers as they were for themselves.
Again, you and I cover Georgia, but I do think that we have a pretty good perspective that nobody practices as hard as Georgia. I think there's some teams that do, but I'm talking about, you take a guy like, and I'll talk more about him in a minute, take a guy like Tate Ratledge and Xavier Trust. These guys have been there. Can you imagine the amount of bloody twosies those guys have been through and the amount of respect they have for their teammates? And like, hey, man, we all made it. We're all here, you know, root for you. You know what I mean? Like, damn, we made it. I would imagine those guys are, you know, God love them because I'm glad we have them. But the guys, you know, the Marines that go through Paris Island, that stuff, you know, that's a different bond for life that you went through it together. And these guys go through 4.5, sometimes 5 years, sometimes 6 years of Georgia's not for everybody. And I think that's the message. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to be like those guys, this is not an easy path. That's not an easy path to do what these guys have done. And those guys have got to be really tight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I thought that was super cool. I do want to touch real quick on our friends over at My Perfect Franchise. Look, guys, are you a displaced corporate executive, or are you looking to maybe kind of shift things, put your career in your own hands? Look, you want to diversify maybe. Andy Ludicky and MyPerfectFranchise.net, they are here to help you. That's what they do. It's their whole model. He's a huge college sports fan. He's a guy who's worked in franchises throughout the years. He's owned multiple franchises and businesses, and he takes all that experience and all the expertise. He uses it to help you find your American dream, and that's through consultation, evaluation. He's going to put you in the right place to be successful. So you can call Andy, put your life and career in your own hands, and his services are 100% free to you. That's something that he provides that makes it super simple, super easy. Get over, find your perfect franchise at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Again, that's MyPerfectFranchise.net. Rusty, you mentioned before we got on the show that you wanted to I had the banner made for 1 week till spring practice, but you kind of threw me a little curveball. So we'll talk about spring practice in a second. But you mentioned that you had a conversation with Tate Ratledge's mother. And I am curious how that went down. What was kind of the takeaway from this? You know, what was sort of the feel? You came to me pretty passionate and said, I got to work this in. So I'm curious as to how this one went.
You know, it was one of those, I've known his parents. We live in the same hometown. I've known his parents since Tate was an eighth grader. And Dean Ratledge, his dad, and Mary Ratledge, his mom, are, you know, great people and great parents and just very, very humble people. I know why Tate is like he is, and, you know, sister and that family. But I go to the grocery store today around lunch, and I'm trying to hurry because the combine comes on at 1:00. And I'm trying to get back, you know, it's probably 12:20, 12:25. I'm snagging up a few things and getting ready to come right back home. And I look over and I see Tate's mom in the grocery store. And I looked at her and she looked at me, and I could tell she kind of started shaking her head. And I said, hey, I said, you ready to watch a combine? I just watched your boy weigh in. I got his measurement. She goes, can't watch it, Rusty. I'm a nervous wreck. I was like, what? Like, this is the biggest, what's one of the biggest days of your son's life? And she's like, I'm a nervous wreck for him. And she said, did he measure in good? I said, yeah, he measured in damn good. You know what I mean? But, you know, you look at that, and we had a private conversation from that point on. It was all good things, but right. Private conversation. But, you know, it reminded me, until you sit in someone else's seat, until you're a parent and you sit in that seat of someone going through today what Tate Ratledge went through. And I told her, I said, listen, he's going to kill this. I said, this kid has been different from the time I've met him. You know what I mean? And he's just been wired, you know. And we talked about being able to play at Georgia. And she told me the first time she saw Amarius Mims, she went, there's no way Tate's going to play here. You know what I mean? Like,
sure,
these dudes are aliens, you know. But you know, and Tate certainly was, you know, one of those guys, highly recruited and all that. But I thought about, just give me a second with Tate. And let's look back at Tate Ratledge. And you think about a mom being nervous and everything this young man has went through. Obviously, the recruitment was highly documented because, you know, they are a deep Tennessee family. They were from Tennessee. They let him make his own decision. He picked Georgia. And the day he picked Georgia, that family was Georgia Bulldogs. And they supported their kid, and they were red and black in everything they did. And they still will always be a part of them, red and black, because of him. And the Sunday before commitment day, the Sunday before National Signing Day, 3 or 4 days left in the class, Sam Pittman leaves for Arkansas. So I remember having a conversation with Tate that Sunday night. I remember talking to his dad that Monday. Man, that was really like reality to them. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? You know, I remember Tennessee came in back hard. I remember Clemson. Dabo Swinney got on him immediately, trying to get him to take that OV. And this has been told before. This has been documented before. But I'll remind people, that Monday night, that Sam Pittman, who was the head coach of Arkansas, who was gone from Georgia, called Tate Ratledge and told him, you need to go to Georgia because that's the place for you. Just because I'm not there, you still need to go play for Kirby Smart and you still need to go to Georgia. And I remember Tate calling me like the next day. He goes, no, I'm sticking with Georgia. I'm not taking any visits. I'm going to sign this week. And that's another reason why people, you know, still love Sam Pittman. But you think about that. Then you go through a freshman year. God knows what he went through. You know, he went from a single A small private school into SEC. His second year, he starts. He starts on a team, Roos, that will win the national championship ultimately. Yeah. He starts. He earns a job over battles of all kind of people. The very first series of the year, he has a foot injury. He's out for the year. He has a Liz Frank against Clemson, yeah, like the fourth play of the game. And he has to miss the entire year. You know what I mean? And great teammate doing this. I remember seeing him on the sidelines. You go through all that. You come back from a Liz Frank, which is not easy at 350 pounds, 340 pounds, whatever he was. Then you have a second year where Georgia wins the national championship, and you're the starter. You're a guy. You're firmly entrenched back into the program. Then you go through an unspeakable, tragic event with you lose a teammate. You lose Devin Willick. And Devin Willick and Tate Ratledge, you go back and look at that parade, they were on that float. Like, those two guys, I saw them. I have a video of them, and I don't think I've ever posted it. Probably don't need to. But those guys were in L.A. at Media Day, and they're cutting up, and they're together, and Tate Ratledge goes through that. He was close with a young lady that passed away as well. And you go through something like that. Then you come back to Georgia. You have to make a decision, and you come back, and you lose that game and against Alabama. Then you make another decision to come back for another year. And he was banged up this year a lot. You know what I mean? But he's basically the leader of the whole team. He's trying to, you know, teach these young guys and do those things. So, you know, when you go back and you look at Tate Ratledge, just his path was ups and downs and had a lot of twists and turns. But to see his mom today, and it kind of put perspective on me again, like, hey, you don't really know until you sit there and that's your kid. And to watch him do what he did, it gave me so much pride for him, because I know he's worked his ass off, but for his mom and dad and his family and that close circle, to see everything that he's put together since the first time I met him in the eighth grade, kind of, you know, today when he needed it the most, Tate put on a freaking show, and he made some money today. So, and I told his mom, I said, look, it's all about staying healthy. Like, Tate Ratledge is a 1% human. There's only 1% of people that are built like him, can run like him. He stays healthy, he's going to play a long time in the NFL, because you know, nothing off the field ever be an issue with him, and very grounded, you know, young man. And he's got a sweet mullet, man. You know, you know, Head and Shoulders has got their eye on that man. So,
absolutely.
So, but to his mom and dad, you know, if they see this and Tate sees this, you know, congratulations, you guys earned it. And this guy will be a damn good dog. When you start talking about the definition of a damn good dog, 25 years from now, people will still talk about Tate Ratledge, his mullet, and, you know, being a two-time national champion at Georgia. So, shout out to him and his family.
No, absolutely, man. I love that. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Rusty, it's just one of those things. To see it from that perspective is it changes everything, man.
And yeah, man.
It makes the following the recruitment all that much sweeter, you know, because for everybody to get that moment together and to be able to experience that. I will tell you this. I would have lost significant money if you had told me that Clay Webb was going to weigh more than Tate Ratledge coming into the combine. I couldn't believe it, man. I think only Fairchild outweighed him. He was larger than Jared Wilson, but I'm happy for Clay too, man.
Yeah,
Clay,
man.
A great kid. I'm glad that things have worked out for him. Got it where he wants it.
Think about this. Sam Pittman. Now, this is original verbal commitments. He got Clay Webb. He got Tate, and he got Jared Wilson the first time.
Yeah, sure.
Remember, Jared decommitted.
Went to UNC for a bit.
And then went back to UNC and he was able to come back. But you think about how long he's been gone. But basically, those are three kids that he had committed to Georgia that all three ended up at Georgia. So
you think that guy knows something about talent? You think he's a little bit of an
You think he's sitting around today in Arkansas, wherever he's at, and going, yep, those are still my guys. You know what I mean? So – shout out, man, Sam Pittman, and those are the three last guys I would imagine. And Trust.
Yep,
yep. He signed Trust. So yeah. He had four guys that he verbally got committed to Georgia at the 2025 freaking combine. That's crazy.
Yeah. And every one of them will be drafted, which is Rusty, it's a week until spring practice. That spring break is upon us. You got to double check your baked goods when people are handing them to you at the beach this week. But you got to.
I saw some players in some snow today, man. That's a lot different than Rusty Mansell used to roll.
Good,
These dudes stay off the skis, guys. Stay off the damn skis. But saw some players in the snow, man. That was cool.
We're a week out of spring practice, Rusty, and I'm just curious. We're going to dive in huge on this next week, obviously. That'll be the big focus. But just kind of a week out here, kind of the big picture, you know, the 400 feet up above it. What's kind of on your mind going into this year's spring practice? I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions for this Georgia team.
A lot.
There's a lot coming back, and people are wondering, you know, who is Georgia? Are they this team we saw last year that struggle, or is it still the dominant force, or where do they kind of fall in the pecking order? This is kind of a proving ground year for the Georgia Bulldogs, and a lot of hay will be made in the spring, as it usually is.
I think people, I think this one is going to be as many questions as I have seen with a Kirby Smart team. Now, I'm not saying like that's a bad thing, like, there's just open minutes available. You know what I mean? Right. Safety at O-line, hell at quarterback. You know, you got seven new wide receivers in the wide receiver room, which is insane. And, you know, I think that just an opportunity, man. Maybe not questions. There's just great opportunities for people. And I think that's what's going to have people's attention, obviously, with us. And we're going to break it down. But I'm excited. And you have some injuries. Okay. So you have some guys that you look at Gabe Harris and Monroe Freeland, those guys, Christian Miller, that won't be out there during spring that we think will be significant, probably likely starters that won't be there. So that means somebody else will get those reps in the spring. That's another good thing. And I think it's just going to be fun to watch and see what we hear coming up. So, you know, February is different now, this dead period, you know, and now Bruce, kids aren't committing because they're all taking their visits in June now. Everybody, you know, we're sitting here in February, you know, and everybody's listing their five official visits. And I'm like, nobody's committing early. Like,
it's weird. Oddly quiet on the recruiting trail.
Yes.
And that's not what's weird to me, Rusty, is that's not a specific to Georgia thing. We're seeing that on the national
scale. Oh, yeah.
Nobody is getting kids right now. And I think there's probably a part of it that makes me think that, you know, there are probably more people saying, look, just take your time. There's no need to rush this thing. You don't have to save the spot. If they want you, they'll do what it takes to get you. And so it's changed from that perspective as well. But it's kind of unsettlingly quiet right now.
I think it has to do with rev share. And I think that schools are telling people, this is what we're going to be able to offer you. As opposed to the last couple of years, like, hey, we might be able to go, you know, let me know where you're at. You know, we might can get in that range. I think there's a lot to this rev share that's going to start, you know, around the country officially July 1st. And I think kids know now that there's kind of a more even playing field for everybody to say, hey, I can make this much if I go here.
Right.
And I can make this much if I go here. I want to take these visits, see what I like about these places. So I think that's playing a part in it too.
Yeah. No, I could definitely see that. You know, the pass catchers excite me. I'm interested to see about the trenches on both sides of the ball for sure. That's going to be, you know, very interesting to watch just to see, you know, who takes the steps forward. I mean, we're talking about all these guys at the NFL draft. Well, that leaves a lot of holes on this offensive line. So who steps up and seizes those opportunities? You know, defensive line, you mentioned Ty Ingram Dawkins earlier as a guy who could have come back. Well, he didn't. So, you know, does that leave it open for a guy like Joseph Jonah Janye to kind of take the lead?
Exactly.
Is the Elijah Griffin hype train going to carry over in the way that everybody hopes that it will?
It's going to. I can just tell you, I feel good about that one. That young man's off to a really good start. You know, it's good when you ask people in the building, hey man, how's Elijah Griffin doing? They're like, they don't want to say it, but their facial expressions are like, holy smoke. So you won't see him in pads, but he has done nothing to disappoint anybody in that building from what I've heard during winter workouts and how athletic he is and how fast he is, how strong he is. And he was a lot of people thought he was number one player in America last year. And if he wasn't, he was a top two or three regardless. And if you're that type of player, then you should be ready to roll.
Yeah, and I won't say I ever doubted the guy, but I always do wonder when you talk about a guy coming from private, you know, the private leagues, and how does that translate over? Because you're obviously not going against a lot of guys your size. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Elijah Griffin didn't see many dudes that were very comparable to him in body composition.
No. So, he was good at the camps, at the national camps. Right. I think that's where you had the confidence. You know what I mean? Like you had the confidence of, okay, he's kind of that guy when you see them, but he's not gonna slow the train down too much. I think Georgia fans are gonna be excited, and it's hard to start, but to play, like being a rotation, I would be surprised he's not.
Yeah, no, and you know, like I said, completely different set pass catchers. You got all kinds of weapons at that spot. The big tall guys now. It's looking better on the Colby. Looking all good on the Colby Young front.
Sounds like from you know, I made mention on Dogs HQ this week. From everything I've heard about Colby Young, that is. They are anticipating him to be a playing member of this football team. I know he's already been practicing. That was in the late fall. But I'm just telling you, everything sounds like that's. I'll be interested to see what Kirby Smart announces that first day, which will be on March the 11th press conference, a week from Tuesday, I guess, or Monday. I'm sure he's going to be asked quickly about that, and you know, be interesting to see what Kirby Smart says about his kind of status with Georgia.
Look, guys, we don't want to give it all away. Spring practice a week out. We will be diving in on it huge over the course of this week at Dogs HQ, previewing all of that for you. We'll be back with the
Georgia basketball. You got to mention basketball. Man, what's going on? Silas Demery. I don't know what has gotten into that guy, but man.
You think Mike White was feeling a little bit like Luka Doncic seeing the Mavs again? Like, I mean, he was like, hey, you know.
Let me tell you something. I was at the Florida game, and when Florida took the lead late in the game, and there was a timeout. I think Georgia called timeout. And I'm telling you, I saw Mike White's soul leave him. Like, he was standing there. When he called timeout – the dude, that was almost the end of him. Like, it was like, and his team rallied and they win that deal. And they go and just absolutely just spank Texas last night. You know, do they have to win both this week? It would not hurt. But, you know, for me, maybe a split with South Carolina and Vanderbilt to get that. I think they're going to get some wiggle room. But, man, shout out to those guys, Blue Kane, all that team. And man, that's going to be it's going to be something else to see how they finish. Because I think we all thought on paper and the way they started, like, damn, this is at least a tournament team. And then you go through what they went through, but they fought back. And I'm telling you, it starts with Silas Dimmer, man. He is playing his ass off.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, it has been a hard year if you're a Georgia basketball fan. It has been about as up and down as you could have possibly, the highs and the lows, and you've been through it all. And so it's been something.
Got your money's worth.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Guys, like I said, we will be back with you over the course of this week. Get over to Dogs HQ. Come check out all the content over there. We got the Dog Walk message board. We got you covered wire to wire on all things dogs. Plus, we'll be back with Georgia Show next week. Spring practice. You know we got questions, and we will be answering them right here on the air. We will catch you next Sunday night, 7 p.m. Talk to you then.